Love one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. There are many who say, in this day and have said in days past, that it is not right to judge another. Well, that's true. If done hypocritically, then yes, you should not judge another if you're doing the same thing that you judge that other person for. But this does not apply to the Christian. The true Christian works diligently, night and day, to remove the plank, the log, or the beam from his or her own eye, because they hate sin, and especially their own sin. When you see a brother committing sin, it is right to warn him against it. And this is judging righteously. This is right judgment. This is love, to keep your brother or sister from the danger of sin. I mean, you'd want someone to warn you if you were sinning, wouldn't you? This is proper love. It is not love, however, to ignore sin in others. It is hate. Warning your brethren to stop sinning is a good thing. Okay, it shows that you love them enough to warn them, even if it angers them. To say, I don't judge anybody, is in fact the very worst kind of hate. In fact, it's worse than blank hatred. It is indifference. Ezekiel chapter 3 states thus, and these are verses 17 and 18. This is God speaking to Israel. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Okay? If you don't judge others by the fruit they're producing, because a tree is known by its fruit, you're almost certain to ignore your own sins, which is often fatal. First, judge yourselves righteously. Yourself. Look at your own self to make certain that you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Apostle Peter says this as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Well, why is this done with trembling? Well, because you're looking into yourself for error and fault. It is enough to frighten a person more than anything to admit wrongdoing. That air of moral superiority takes a real hit when you find yourself guilty. It is enough to make you tremble if your conscience isn't already seared with a hot iron and thereby not even capable of having a conscience. Therefore, judge rightly, and you'll be far less susceptible to the whisperings of the devil and his legions. First, with yourself, to clear your own eyes, and second, to look after your brother or sister. And this is what is meant when the Lord Jesus says to love one another as I have loved you. The Lord Jesus never overlooked the sins of his disciples. He warned them out of love. We also know that this commandment to love one another as I have loved you is equal to the second great commandment, yet different in its application. This commandment to love your neighbor as yourself is akin to this statement, to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Yet this commandment to love one another has a special difference. It is given to those who are Christians, the elect of God. Not the people who make decisions for Christ. They're not Christians. They're almost Christians. Well, the only ones that are Christians are the ones who were given to Christ by God the Father. And I've done enough teaching on that to where you should know this. But for the sake of the statement, John chapter 17, verse 9, the Lord Jesus, in his godly prayer, right before he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, is praying this holy prayer to his Father in the presence of his disciples. Not the world, but his disciples. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I mean, think about it. Why would the Lord Jesus pray for people that he doesn't love? He doesn't do it. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to Peter. Not to the pagan, to Peter. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Not his neighbor. Don't strengthen your neighbor. He says his brethren, his brothers. John chapter 6, verse 37. To conclude this statement. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. Nowhere in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus found to be expressing his profound love to those who were not given to him. Now, I know this is going to come as a real shock to you people who just look at John 3:16 and go, well, I believe. Well, how do you know? You say you believe, but yet you can't even explain to someone what you believe, which in itself is absurd. If you're a Christian, you should be able to explain how you know you are a Christian and why. Because God gave you to the Lord Jesus. If your statement is not because God gave you to the Lord Jesus, then you're proceeding from a wrong premise. Now, I know there's going to be an objection to this. That the Lord Jesus, you know, didn't express his profound love to those who were not given to him. Okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 21. The rich man. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. They'll say it. Well, it says right there in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So he obviously loved him, but what happens afterward? Verse 22, the rich man was sad at that saying and went away, grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, not everybody, but his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Okay? There is zero evidence afterward that this rich man repented and returned to Christ. I've heard people say that, well, he could have went back and repented. I mean, it says that he loved him, and the Bible doesn't contradict itself, right? Well, of course it doesn't contradict itself. Okay? But the fact of the matter is plain. He did not repent and return to Christ. So don't lie to yourselves that he did return and repent. Just don't do it. Okay, the point, brethren, is this. If you are a Christian, if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will keep his commandments. That's John chapter 14, verse 15. And this is a really short sermon, so this is what I mean, and this is what the scripture means, when the Lord Jesus Christ says to love one another as I have loved you. That's all for today.